Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Super 6 has given away nearly $4 million already. Download the Fox Super 6 app and enter the Super Bowl contest for your chance to win $250,000 of Terry Bradshaw's money. All you need to do is pick six outcomes in the Super Bowl. It's completely free to play. And for top stories, scores, and more, go to the Fox Sports app.
So Greg Jennings is post-football career. He's a broadcaster for Fox Sports, and he also is a like a bodybuilder, would you call him? Is that what?
Yeah, a competitive bodybuilder.
Yeah,
I think so.
So we were just talking during the break. He is in such good shape. His body rejects snacks.
Yeah, or like bad food.
It rejects it immediately. My body rejects discipline. So it just says, none of that nonsense. Give me another slice of pizza.
Exactly. What are you doing? What is this vegetable?
Greg Jennings joining us. A decade in the league, multiple time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl. Man, you have got, you know, some people can do what you can do. It's very rare. You're a very disciplined guy, and good for you. So I got to be honest. I'm coming to terms with this. I've listened to smart people talk about this, that we just have to accept that sometimes Aaron Rodgers is a little dramatic, and he's going to give you these interviews and these pauses, and I don't love it from my star quarterback. I don't love him pointing fingers at Matt LaFleur. But I've got to come to terms with, I do like a life where not everybody's the same. You know, it adds color and flavor to our lives. So when Aaron had a very dramatic post-game commentary, what was your first reaction to it after the loss and his thoughts?
I honestly didn't think it was dramatic. I thought it was real. And the reason why I thought it was real is because anytime you have like a start to the season with the draft and you draft the Jordan Love and there's all these questions and this stuff out there about what fueled Aaron Rodgers. And then you have the type of season that they had, which was a success, but it wasn't a success in their book because they didn't accomplish the ultimate goal. What that does after you lose is it brings all of that stuff that we could have done and we should have done back to the forefront. And that's what it is. The reality of it is he feels like they could have done more prior to the start of the season.
Yeah.
And it starts with the draft. And so there is so much uncertainty when you look at the amount of free agents that they have on that current roster that potentially will not be back there, puts in question whether they will even be a contending team. And that is hard for someone to even digest when you think about the quarterback that you have in Aaron Rodgers, that the Green Bay Packers, with him being healthy, aren't a contending team because you haven't put the personnel together to support what he provides. That's what's frustrating, I think, for Aaron Rodgers, and that's what's in question for the Green Bay Packers.
When they went conservative at the end of the game, did you feel like, oh, I've seen that before, or from Green Bay, or were you kind of surprised? How'd that land for you?
I was surprised. I was thoroughly surprised because that had not been their approach all year. It just hasn't. They've been very aggressive. They've been all about bringing out their same formation, variation, and personnel to just give themselves the best opportunity to score and to put points on the board. And I'm sure that they did what they felt they needed to do, but it just didn't work. And that Tampa Bay Bucs team deserves a lot of credit. Defensively, Todd Bowles, I thought his game plan was executed flawlessly. For the most part, with the personnel that was out there on the field competing against the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah. So Matt Stafford's on the block. Now, be as honest as you can. When you were beating him every year in Green Bay, I mean, you were. I know everybody tells me how talented he is. What did you guys think about Stafford?
That he just didn't have that factor, whatever that factor is that Aaron Rodgers has, that Tom Brady has, that Russell Wilson has, that the Patrick Mahomes, that those elite guys,
yeah,
like as far as talent, as far as ability, he's up there.
Yeah.
You put him right up there with all of those guys. But when it comes to leadership, can he elevate the guys around him? Has he been successful doing that? That's where it's like, it comes into question. And then sitting down with him and just talking to so many different quarterbacks and just getting to know their train of thought throughout the week and how they progress and how they kind of prepare themselves. It just was a little different with Matthew Stafford even this year. And I'm not saying that he doesn't prepare himself like a true pro, but it's different than talking to an Aaron Rodgers who's very intentional and direct when it comes to what they're trying to accomplish. It's like they're in unison with one another, he and Matt LaFleur and Tom Brady and Bruce Arians. As much as we wanted to question all of that, they kind of were in lockstep. And sometimes you just didn't get that sense with Matthew Stafford. But for me, his talent, and I know I listened to your last little blurb segment of talent gets coaches fired. They do. But talent also give coaches another shot, gives them kind of an extended leash and kind of a life jacket, if you will, because everyone says, well, they do have the talent now. So now it gives a coach an opportunity to see if he can do something different that a previous coach wasn't able to do.
But you started saying, but your very first segment, which was, is just not quite something kind of, and that's my thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's what Chris Paul has. It's what Damian Lillard, there's something in Chris Paul. He just pushes guys, and I like the word you use. Aaron's very intentional. And I've always felt Stafford plays with a casualness, just a little casual for me, and I'm not a fan. Now, so Deshaun Watson is requesting a trade, not demanding, but requesting. So have you ever had a teammate that did that in your career? Did anybody ever demand a trade anywhere you were at?
Not that I can recall. No one ever demanded a trade.
Okay, so it's very, very rare in the NFL. It's incredibly rare. If you were the Texans and he just said, I want out, I mean, you're not going to get equal value. I mean, what do you make of the whole situation?
Well, it's a mess. It's a mess, and it's on them. This is on them. When you sit down and you talk to Deshaun Watson or you talk to any player of that caliber, we're not getting hearsay. This has come from Deshaun Watson's mouth as far as them saying to him he would be a part. Whatever that looked like was up to them. He would be a part of the decision-making process moving forward, whether it was hiring a GM, whether it was consulting with him when it comes to hiring a head coach, and he was not. And you look at what he's been able to provide this organization. And I compare it to, and I know people are going to say, he's not Michael Jordan. Well, Michael Jordan wasn't quite Michael Jordan when he first got to the Chicago Bulls, but they knew what they had.
Right.
They knew they had a transcendent player that was going to change the landscape of that organization. And so they included him in almost every decision moving forward up until the six titles. And then it was like, oh, you know what? We're going a different direction. We're not going to include you. What happens? Jordan goes his separate ways. This is what we're seeing now early in the career, something that was very rare with a quarterback in the National Football League. He's done any and everything that they've asked him to do. The one thing that he wanted to be a part of, they excluded him. And when you think about teams, every team has this players council and they want players to be a part of decision makings and have input when they want them to have input. But when the player now wants to have some input or some say or give an idea or a thought, they're like, no, we don't need your assistance in that. We got it. You stay downstairs. And that is posed a problem when you have an elite player like this that you have not supported. And we all have seen they have just not supported Deshaun Watson to the ability of what we've seen with so many other quarterbacks.
By the way, before we let you go, you're official. You do bodybuilding. It's very disciplined. Okay, so like, what did you have for breakfast this morning?
I had a bagel, a Thomas bagel with 4 eggs and 8 ounces of egg whites.
That's not bad. That's not, you're not starving yourself. And then what'd you eat? What'd you eat 90 minutes later?
350 grams of rice, white rice, and 7 ounces of steak.
He eats a lot. He just doesn't eat
bad
food.
I don't eat bad. That's it. I eat a lot. I consume quite a bit, but I don't eat the junk.
Would you, if I made you eat a Kit Kat on the air, would you, and I give you $1,000, would you do it?
Would I eat a Kit Kat? Right now, I would eat a Kit Kat. I'm bulking. I could eat a Kit Kat. I'm not a sweet person.
Bulking season.
Right. Bulking season.
Yeah, I have that. It's called December. All right, I got to go. Greg Jennings, good seeing you. He's very disciplined.
My sister did one of those fitness competitions. My best friend did as well. You have to drink a lot of water.
My ex-wife did that too.
Yeah. Yeah, they tried to recruit me for it. I was like, yeah, no. That's not it.
Yeah.
I
think I am a big believer in moderation.
Yeah, I'm a big moderation person as well. But I don't, like, during the week, I have a meal plan. I don't stress out during the week about food.
Like I like abs, but I don't think...
I've never had an ab in my entire life.
See, that's my theory. I have them. There's no reason to see them.
You just know that they're there?
Right. Like, I'm committed to them
literally,
as a body
when I was
part.
In high school, I weighed 97 pounds and played 4 sports. I didn't have 1 ab. So it's genetics. Like, that's not the life for me. I'm not going to have abs.
All right.
I'm all right.
Everybody wants to keep their home and family safe. Visit simplysafecolin.com/Colin and get a free security camera. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news. This is the Herdline News.
It's, you know what? We're just really being modest. Because we're so excellent, we can't also just walk around with six packs.
With abs.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
To your point, like, we hide them.
Like you, Greg is really, it's every like, you know, he has to eat every 90 minutes and that's a lot. I mean, you have to be a really disciplined human being.
He's definitely disciplined. It's a huge commitment. So Matt Rhule said earlier this month that the Panthers will look at every opportunity to improve at each position this offseason. They do have Teddy Bridgewater as their quarterback right now. And yesterday he gave more detail on what he looks for in a starter.
Just in general, I think you want someone who's, elitely intelligent. I think you want someone who's a tremendous leader. I think you want someone who's accurate. I think you want someone who has arm talent to make all the throws. And I think you want someone who has a history of making plays in crucial situations.
They have the 8th pick in the draft.
And they're really in a Kansas City situation where they've got an offensive coach, they've got a veteran quarterback they can win and compete for playoffs probably next year, one more draft. And then they can go draft a Mahomes / Trey Lance or whatever. It's really the way to do it. I mean, Carolina's got a new owner, a new coach, a new GM.
Matt Rhule has a 10-year deal.
Yeah, so, I mean, Carolina is one of those. This is Kansas City a few years ago, where, although Kansas City wasn't rebuilding to this point.
Yeah.
But you got your Andy Reid, you got your Alex Smith, you draft Mahomes, you got a smart guy in the front office, you got good owners. They're a little lesser version of that, but in an ideal way, you draft Trey Lance from North Dakota, who played one game. You just sit him for 16. You compete every week.
No, this feels like
a good
Kansas
stock.
City, a Bills.
It's a $12 stock.
Trying to do
buy GameStop and then buy this are your two stocks to buy over the next year.
If you can, if you're allowed. They do have Christian McCaffrey as well. When he's healthy, he's the best in the league.
Robbie
Anderson,
receivers.
DJ Moore,
Curtis
Samuel, and Mike Davis are free agents. Yeah. But
they have good receivers
there. Those and they went all defense in the draft last year. Yeah. So they're in a good situation. And look, we all love Teddy, but they want a super long-term deal. And to your point, he's a great bet and may end up being their quarterback for 2 more years.
Yeah.
So Sam Darnold's future with the Jets is obviously very unclear moving forward. Head coach Robert Saleh had a lot of good things to say about him, but stopped short of committing to him as a team starter.
What I can tell you about Sam is that he is an unbelievable talent. There's a reason why he's the 3rd overall pick, and let's be real, he's 23 years old, so he hasn't even scratched the surface of life yet. I'm not hiding behind a veil or anything. The kid's very, very talented, and it shows on tape when you really just watch it. Results aside, you just have to watch his tape to really see how talented the young man is.
I've said New York media has been unbelievably fair with Darnold.
Yeah, I think it's because everyone realizes what a disaster Gase was.
Yeah, I mean,
we've seen moments with Sam Darnold, and we've seen Ryan Tannehill leave Gase and basically become a Pro Bowler, lead the Titans to an AFC Championship game. Look, I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, the running game situation there, but still can't deny. He's making throws in big moments. He's using his legs. Like, Ryan Tannehill has taken a significant step up. Gase took a step back. Like, he regressed, and he's 23.
Yeah, it's funny because I talk more Jets than you'd think because I love Darnold. If they move off Darnold and don't get Deshaun, they're kind of off my team to talk about thing. Like, if they get Deshaun, I'll talk about him. And if they keep Darnold, I'll talk about him.
I think it depends on who they draft.
I just don't think...
The AFC East is just going to be... It's going to be a lot tougher this year. It's not the same situation anymore. You've got Buffalo. Yeah. You've got Miami. I don't know what the Patriots are going to do, but yeah. Who knows? And I'm going to assume they're going to be a little bit better. Yeah. Obviously, who knows? But, yeah, it's... I do not think that Sam Darnold's going to be there, though.
Yeah,
I just think too much has happened. So finally, the Wizards have lost three straight games and are sitting at the bottom of the Eastern Conference with a 3-11 record. However, Bradley Beal has been playing amazing. Last night, he scored 47 in the team's 124-106 loss to the Pelicans.
He's absolutely great.
That performance made him the first player in NBA history to lose 10 straight games when he scores at least 40 points.
See, okay, here's the thing. Loyalty is overrated.
Yes, in sports. In sports, in professional sports, loyalty is extremely overrated. I actually don't even think it's a word that should be associated with it.
So I've been on this now, how long?
Very long time. Since I've known you.
5 years I've been on this. He's the most talented player in the NBA who won't demand a trade or work himself out. He's wasting his time with Westbrook. He wasted his time with John Wall. He's a Hall of Famer. I'd vote him into the Hall of Fame. And he may not get there because, and I'm not blaming the Wizards, but he's been coupled with very talented, but...
Oh, I'm totally blaming the Wizards. He's extremely talented. Now, I would not have done this deal. Like, if he said it was loyalty, he said he wanted to stay there. He agreed to a 2-year max extension, $72 million. It begins in the 2021-2022 season and then includes a player option for 2022-23. But declining the option, he'd be eligible for free agency with 10 years of NBA service time. So he could sign a 5-year, $266 million contract with Washington or a 4-year, $198 million contract with another team. So he does have some flexibility coming up, but it's... Like, these are just years of Bradley Beal excellence that are amounting to nothing.
Okay.
I mean, that is an incredible record to set. 10 straight games.
You want to see... We're going to have a new sound effect on the show. Whenever I am about to perform Big J Journalism.
Oh, okay.
What sound effect do we have? This is our sound effect... When you hear this sound effect going forward, that means journalism
is happening.
Is about to happen in the herd. Goulet is scouring our sound effects. Anything at this point would... Well, that's scary journalism.
Oh, dastardly.
How about this? LeBron is a huge Bradley Beal fan.
Right?
Sourced. LeBron has been on Bradley Beal for 3 years privately. He is a huge... He wants Bradley Beal on the Lakers.
Okay.
And let me tell you something. You put Bradley Beal on the Lakers with this team, it goes into a top five all-time team potentially. It would be a juggernaut.
So LeBron being a Beal fan is the big J.
The journalism is, I have been told now by multiple people close to LeBron, this is his guy. He's loved Bradley Beal when nobody talked about him.
Well, if he declines his player option, he can do that. He's going to take, it's not super good at math, $64 million pay cut.
Yeah, that's not great. John, work on the sound effect for journalism. It's not Halloween around here. All right, Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
All right, Cousin Sal, Fox Bet, joins us next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
He's Cousin Sal. You saw him on Jimmy Kimmel's, friends with Bill Simmons on his wildly popular podcast. He's got a new book. The early reviews are sensational. It is supposed to be laugh out loud. I'm laughing looking at the pictures. Cousin Sal, you can't lose them all. The reviews I'm reading are fantastic. I'm going to read it this weekend. I can't wait. So now, I know a little of your backstory. I'm sure yes. most of our audience does, but let's start with this. Books are hard. Why'd you choose to write one?
Well, I owe a lot of money, and the guy I'm into said, I get the advance, or you hand over your keys to the Chrysler. That's basically it. No, Bill Simmons, who you mentioned, said, hey, you have a lot of stories. You know, if you gamble or do anything over the course of 35 years, you accumulate stories. And my agent's like, yeah, and I can make 10% of $600, so let's do this. And then I sit down, and I map out the stories, and it's like, oh, my God, now I have to write this. But, yeah, I thought a few of them were worth telling.
They were. By the way, rock bottom for you, because you're a successful sports gambler. Oh. What was rock bottom?
Oh, man, this is tough. What a question, Joy, huh? Like, if you have Robert Downey.
Go to your
Downey,
lowest moments.
Yeah, Robert Downey Jr., which is the worst crack den in L.A.? Well, rock bottom, I think, was in college, probably. It was me and my degenerate friend Harry, and we were betting. And the idea is to have enough money to bet on the NCAA tournament,
sure, right?
And we were running out. So the conference tournament game was the Sun Belt Championship, South Alabama, and Old Dominion, I think.
Yeah,
and
I try to bet that every year.
You do, really, right?
Yeah.
And we lost, of course, on a last-second bank three-pointer, and we had nothing. We were down to nothing. And, you know, before you feel bad for Harry, I hired him on my Extra Points podcast network. He does Mountain West picks, topless. He's an obese man in a hot tub. So he's okay. Joy, I know you have a man, I think. But if anything
I don't,
out,
but oh, you don't. Put me in touch.
Harry's there for you.
He's awesome.
Anyway, moving on. We had nothing. Luckily, the bookie ran a rec league, the local rec league, 13-year-old boys basketball. And he said to me and Harry, he liked Harry and I, he said, I'll pay you $6 a game. You guys ref, and you could work off your debt. So that was great. We were grateful. We got there. We were reffing the games. We were both reffing the same games. But we got bored, of course, and we started betting each other on the games. And so then there would be like a phantom travel call or a phantom charge, and the kids started getting angry, and the parents started getting angry to a point where they'd follow us out of the gym after the game because we were throwing these games. It was
Tim Donaghy.
We didn't even have him yet to look up to, really. And so the local bookie's like, you're going to have to figure something else out. They fired us.
You're a lawyer. You're a comedy writer. You've done a lot. Jimmy Kimmel, who is a wonderful guy, you've done that.
He's all right.
You've got a lot of your friends are gamblers. I am a sports gambler. I don't consider myself a degenerate because I bet little small. I bet $50. Mm-hmm. I bet $100. Not all your bets are big bets.
No. I like to keep it small. I like to bet the fringe stuff. Now we're in business with the legitimate companies that don't let you bet the weird stuff. But in the dog days of summer, you're looking for something. You don't want to bet baseball every day. When the hot dog eating contest comes up, it's nice, right? And I used to bet on that. And you can't bet like Joey Chestnut because you have to lay $10 to win a dollar on his success. So
right.
You bet over under, it was 72 and a half hot dogs, I remember. This was a bad beat I'm telling you about. And I bet under. I was like, it's sweltering conditions, Coney Island. He's not going to try to break his own record. It doesn't matter. He's way ahead of the field. And so I bet under 72 and a half, and he's going at a brisk pace, but he's beating the competition, but not going to break the record. He has 60 with a minute left. He ends with 64. It's on the graphic. They interview him afterwards, this carnival barker with the crazy hat. He's like, congratulations, you won the tournament. 64. He's like, they forgot to count a plate. I actually ate 74. What? 74, a new record. They take his word for it.
That's Colin. A bad beat.
Yes. Imagine like players like Steph Curry, like, oh, sorry, you only scored 20 points. Like, actually, I scored 40. And they're like, oh, game 7 coming up. Ridiculous.
Now, was your dad a big gambler?
No, he wasn't. He wasn't. My grandmother was big. She would. She's actually big too. But she played bingo, and me and Jimmy Kimmel, and we would go there, and we would really hit each other with the markers.
And by the way, there's the pictures in the book. This is family stuff.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
You are Jimmy's cousin.
Yes, his mother and my father are brother and sister. Yes.
And Jimmy comes from a more stable background. Yours seems like a circus, fun and rebellious and loud.
I know. He's hosting like charity benefits. So boring. And I like risking everything I have on a given weekend.
You were an attorney and you got bored with it.
And then
you went into comedy writing. Mm-hmm. But you've had an ability to let you land on your feet. And right now you got a podcast network. Mm-hmm. What do you make of, give my audience who's just putting their arms around this sports gambling thing, give them two things, as a gambler who's successful, that are little gems, pearls.
Oh, interesting. As a gambler who's successful, who's next? Is Furman next to me? I have no. I would say, don't get in over your head. Seems so cliche, but I think it starts like this. Everyone's in a fantasy league with their friends. If they get bored of that, they play daily fantasy. They get bored of that, they graduate to big time sports gambling. So there's nothing wrong with the first few if that's your thing. But yeah, so don't graduate just automatically because you're not having fun. There's other ways to do it.
Yeah, fantasy is gambling.
Right, exactly.
Right.
So just pump it up there.
You can't lose them all as the book. Now, Chiefs currently -3 on Fox Bet. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs feel like the side for me.
Yeah.
For you?
For me, have you gone back and figured out how you've done on Tom Brady Super Bowls? I think I'm like 2-7, maybe 3-6.
Never scores early.
Right.
I think the bet is usually the under. Super Bowls, Tom's very much the boxer who feels his way. You know, right. Ali doesn't have that many first round knockouts.
Mm-hmm.
Tom tends to feel his way through the game. He kind of frames it as it goes, as Dilfer says.
Yeah.
So like, Mahomes has these jetpack moments.
Right.
Tom is more methodical, frames it, takes his time. The bet's probably the under on this, but I do think Kansas City's the side.
I think Kansas City probably 7 out of 10 times wins this game and covers, but I'm sick of losing with Brady. And if I can get that to go to 3.5, he doesn't embarrass himself in Super Bowls. If they're down 9 in the fourth quarter, he has a chance to drive for a backdoor cover. Right now, 10 days out, I'm going the other way. I'm sorry, I'm going Tampa.
How'd you do this year as a sports bettor?
I did okay. I stayed above water, and I think it's because in a weird pandemic year, a lot of the favorites won. Tampa Bay Lightning and Dodgers and obviously the Lakers. So.
Do you bet hockey?
I do, yeah. I have to bet everything. Well, it's hard, though, right?
You bet hockey.
You don't? I bet hot dog eating. What do you mean?
Really? So
yeah.
So do you bet more football?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. More
so
football, for sure.
Your second biggest bet is what?
College basketball, I would
say.
Oh,
my Lord.
What's the matter with you?
That takes a lot of time.
I know.
You have a beautiful wife.
Thank you.
Are you sitting out there watching Cone Smythe division games?
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
You got to keep it going.
All right. You Can't Lose Them All is the book. His name is Cousin Sal Iacono, Fox Bet Live co-host. Every day, 3:30 Eastern. It's getting great reviews, which, by the way, people say it doesn't matter, but it does.
It does?
You want people to say nice things.
Okay. Well, it's mostly my family, so it better be great.
Say hi to Bill Simmons. When's the last time you talked to Bill?
I sure will. Well, every Sunday night we record a podcast, and it's all counting.
Be nice if you return my calls. Good luck to you, buddy.
Thanks, pal. Appreciate it.
All right. Find the perfect bouquet for Valentine's. Go to 1-800-FLOWERS, 24 multicolored roses, $29.99. Upgrade to 24 red roses, just $10 more. 1-800-FLOWERS.com. Click the radio icon. Enter the code HERD. I'm going to read this book this weekend. I'm off tomorrow. I'm going to read it. You Can't Lose Them All, Cousin Sal. Thank you, sir, for Joy, for John. We'll see you. I'll see you next week. In LA, it's the HERD.